This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer, and performer, Mike Luoma. We've got three chapters of our book on the way today. The Star Seeds of Earth continues. Chapters 30, 31, and 32. 30's a little short, 31's on the longer side, and 32 is kind of a short medium. Let me set up the story for you. Alibi Jones's hunt for a starseed brought him face to face with a renegade alien secta that called itself the Heretic, because unlike the rest of the Greater Ta and their rage for order, the Heretic likes to cultivate chaos. Unfortunately for Alibi, the Heretic apparently believed it was truly chaotic to have Alibi Jones stunned unconscious, as we saw at chapter's end on our last episode. So in our three chapters coming up this week on Glow in the Dark Radio, in the first, in chapter 30, we'll be checking back in with Alibi's half-brother, the cult leader, Hap, and their mother, Ruth. In 31, Alibi wakes up and discovers what the Heretic has in mind for him. And in 32, well, now, that would be telling. Three chapters, 21-plus minutes of story, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. And the book itself is out. The Star Seeds of Earth. Go to glowinthedarkradio.com for easy access to all the links. You can see the new book trailer I put together, too. That was yesterday's project. I've been learning bits and pieces of basic video editing. So I spent the whole day yesterday applying what I picked up and learning a lot more. And I constructed this 1 minute long trailer for the book. So I went out and found some royalty-free videos. There are sites for that, just like royalty-free photos. I found some good ones. Found more than I needed, actually. I collected all those on Friday night and put together a rough mix to see what they looked like. Then on Saturday, I began doing the actual work. I wrote up the script for the trailer, which is really like a promo. Recorded that, produced that. Used our theme music here. And it was a lot of trial and error because I didn't know exactly what I was doing. So I'd put it together, render it, see what it looked like, start over. So a lot of trial and error, hit or miss, but I like it. It looks good now, I think. I hope you like it. I hope it sells books. That's the idea, right? So now there is a trailer and a promo too. Video trailer, audio promo. And you can see that at glowinthedarkradio.com. Also, there on the book page are the two readings I did a week ago for the book launch. I read chapter 1, and I did chapter 8 for the second reading, as it turned out. The second reading, I just kind of flipped ahead until I hit a chapter break, and then did it, as you can see. So now the trailer and the two recordings from the book launch are new additions there, as are more links to buy the book. You can also listen to chapter 1 of the audiobook there. The audiobook is now at Audible and Amazon. That happened this week, right after the holiday. In addition to Google Play, Kobo, and more, the ebook is everywhere. The paperback, however, is only at Amazon right now, for now. Lulu.com, my print-on-demand printing partner and distributor, has failed miserably. It took over 2 weeks before I heard from anyone in customer service, and I only talked to them because I noticed their help chat was working again, so I chatted. They did a site redesign at the end of April. It was poor redesign, full of flaws. I had trouble originally publishing my book to get a proof out, but that worked. But then when I went to approve the proof, I could not, and I still cannot. And I spent extra money to get the book sent to me early so I could approve it. So I had two simple requests for Lulu. I wanted them to approve the book for distribution, and I wanted a refund of my money. The extra money I spent on shipping, attempting to get my proof early so I could quickly approve my book. This all proved impossible thanks to the flaws in their website, rendering them useless. And they wouldn't help. When I finally got through, they could not approve my book, and they would not refund my money. They just told me their techs are working on that. Bye. And that was it. It was rude. That was after I asked for a manager to chat with. Rude. So do not use Lulu.com. I'm appalled. I'm going to probably have to move my books to another print-on-demand provider at this point. But they're still there for now, the older books, and you can get the paperback at Amazon. But now I'm investigating other possibilities. If you were curious why there was no paperback originally, well, now you know. Very disappointing. You can blame Lulu.com. But again, the good news is the ebook is everywhere, and the audiobook is available most of the places we'd expect. Audible, Amazon. The only place that's lagging is Apple. So it should be on iTunes soon. Or the Apple Audio Bookstore, whatever they're calling it these days. And if you do want a paperback, just head to Amazon. Ooh, a reminder on some things you can save on. You have through today, Sunday, to take advantage of the free books at Smashwords. The author's give back sale ends at midnight tonight, Pacific time. So like 3 a.m. Eastern time. Tonight, May 31st. And you have through Thursday, the 4th, June 4th, to take advantage of more than half off of my comic book series, number one issues, at Comixology. That means The Adventures of Alibi Jones, number one, Red Hot, number one, Good Samaritan, number one, Tales of the Teen, number one. Those are all 51% off, each 49 cents apiece, usually 99 cents. And issue one of four of Vatican Assassin, the graphic novel, is just 99 cents, because that's usually $1.99. Again, that's through Thursday the 4th at Comixology. Now, to make it easy to find my books at those sales, I've made special links to them at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. Gets you to the same place, mikeluoma.com. And with all I've got going on here, your support really matters. It's good to give back and have sales on number one issues. And do a free podcast. And give away copies, free copies of my audiobooks for Vatican Assassin and Alibi Jones. Did I mention that yet? Those two audiobooks are free right now, you know, at Google Play and Kobo. And it's good. I like doing this. I like giving away some stuff, trying to help keep people entertained. Also, try to draw up some interest in my work, too. No lie. So that is why your financial support matters if you're one of my patrons. You helped me do all this. A couple of years ago, I wasn't sure I was going to be able to afford to keep doing this podcast, putting out my books, any of this. But several of you went to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio over the last couple of years and became either a $2 a month, $5 a month, most people, and one $10 a month patron. Your contributions help pay for this podcast, help pay for the website hosting, and so many of the other costs that creep up all year long. So, I just want to say a major thank you to Paul, to Kay, and Barney. I want to thank Dana, who's come on board recently. And thank Ryan, who's been a huge supporter for so long. And thank you to Tommy as well, who's also been helping me out. And thanks to Jim. He was a patron for a little while, too. And those are all my patrons, so thank you for being a patron, you guys. And you should thank them, too, if you're not. Thanks to them, everyone gets to keep listening to free science fiction adventures every week on Glow in the Dark Radio. And you can become a patron at Patreon, too. That's patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. All right, we'll get into our chapters from The Starseeds of Earth next, after we hear from JC about the Fix-It Home Improvement Podcast.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix-It Home Improvement Podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. And for fans of Mike, we keep you posted on new smart home systems and products like robot vacuums and robot lawnmowers that seemed like science fiction not too long ago. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's Fix-It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Now, here's Chapter 30 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Of all people, he didn't think it would be his own mother that he'd have to keep most in line. She wasn't responding to the small adjustments, not anymore. He couldn't make her be happy and at peace like he used to. It was growing annoying. Today she was accusing him again of wanting Alibi dead. And he did, of course. But he should never have told her he couldn't afford to have Alibi Jones killed. What had he been thinking? "I don't want Alibi Jones dead, Mother," Hap lied. "Then why do you want him here?" she asked. "Because he belongs here, with us," Hap said. "With you." He heard it from her mind like a slap before she said it. "I don't believe you." Hap had to resist slapping her back. She was so asking for it. But physically, in her condition, it would be wrong. And mentally, he didn't know if he could control it to just a slap. It had been harder to control the force he was exerting with his mind when he used it to move things physically. Unpredictable. He needed more of the original stuff. It was all dried up, true, but they had brought it back before, reconstituted it when they'd first discovered it, hadn't they? That had been a blessing. Digging the foundation for their main hall, they'd found the smashed remains of an alien race's ancient relic, a ceremonial stone of blue-white quartz. And picking the pieces out of the dirt, Hap cut himself and bled on one of the pieces. Later, they'd found that where his blood had stuck to a shard, it had turned into a sticky purple goo. It might not have been the wisest move, but Hap decided to taste it. Can something taste like electricity? He couldn't get the flavor of ozone out of the back of his throat for the next week. It was worth it. He began to perceive so much more. God opened his eyes wide. Let those who have eyes see. Hap saw his way into consuming the rest of the small, purple mixed mass of his blood and the blue stuff, and other minds opened to him. He saw how they worked, like clocks, glowing, intricate geared mechanisms, only not quite. Then he realized he could change those mechanisms. In some cases, he could control them, make them do as he wanted, or simply plant suggestions in his favor. He was doing the Lord's work, after all, and this was his gift. Hap wanted more of this stuff, but bleeding on it again didn't work. No one in the colony's blood worked. His scientists couldn't get the shards to react as they first had again. No more go. Scientists, Hap laughed as he thought of them. What did they know? They'd given it their best efforts, but nothing. More of it now would help him control everything better. Time for them to try again harder. Maybe he could make them smarter. What was that? His mother was speaking. Her internal gear work was broken, in an odd way, but it still functioned.
"I'm worried about you, Happy," she said. He could see in her fractured mind that she truly was. A mother's concern, golden and warm. "You don't look well. You're redder than you should be. I can see more of your veins through your skin every day." He pushed the gold away. "I'm fine," he shouted. He didn't mean to shout. "You worry about yourself." He stormed out of her room. Why did she always make him so mad? No matter. He'd gotten a call. Be good to get off the planet for a few hours. Chapter 31.
"My head hurts," Alibi said, waking up in a sitting position, restrained. He opened his eyes and looked down at the zip ties around his arms and legs, holding him upright in a chair.
"How long have I been out?"
"You are awake," the heretic asked. "Apparently," Alibi said. "I imagine you did not anticipate that, Alibi Jones. You see, chaos."
"No, I did," Alibi said. "Saw that as a possibility, but I hoped I'd at least get to see your starseed first."
"Oh, I do not have a starseed," the heretic said, "though I do very much want one."
"You said you had one."
"I lied," the heretic said. "Also chaotic. Is it not? Lying?"
"Annoying's what it is," Alibi muttered.
"Chaos is chaos," the heretic proclaimed. "It does not always work in your favor, Alibi Jones."
"Gotcha."
"I need funding, and you are valuable," the heretic said, "and willing to come to me. So convenient. Thank you so much for that, really."
"Stupid of me," Alibi said. "And here I thought I might learn something from you."
"Really?" The sectar seemed surprised.
"Such as?"
"More about the greater ta," Alibi said. "What makes you tick? Why the tech ta work for you?"
"Oh," the heretic said. "They do not. We all work for we all. The tech ta among us."
"There are more ta?" Alibi asked.
"Yes. At least they admit that."
"I thought you Sekta ran everything," Alibi lied. He wanted to see what the Sekta would tell him.
"We do not." "Not much, apparently."
The heretic did not elaborate.
"Why do you humans seek starseeds?" the heretic asked. "This will not work out well for you."
"And why is that?" Alibi asked.
"Humankind has drawn the attention of old, decadent peoples," the heretic said. "Starseeds are sought by the wealthy of all races. But why draw this attention? You let loose chaos, a wild and reckless race."
"We're not that bad," Alibi protested.
"You humans do not know the havoc you created," the heretic said. "A million years ago, the ancient enemy kept people in line. After they were overthrown, the Eldred did the same, though peacefully. You rise up and blithely initiate their destruction, but leave nothing in their place."
"Is that what you're doing?" Alibi asked. "The Greater Ta, taking their place?"
"Ours is but a token effort," the heretic said. "Regional at best."
"This is going nowhere," Alibi said. He sighed.
"You may be going somewhere," the heretic said. "Bring in the domo," he barked out to his tecta. The tecta let in a grotesquely large domo. The bald, rotund alien rolled in and eyed Alibi appreciatively, like a choice morsel.
"Hello, Corporalanius," the heretic said, greeting his guest.
"Heretic," the domo said. Its mouth moved sideways,
opening and closing vertically. That always disturbed Alibi.
This is the one?
Yes, the heretic said. This is Alibi Jones. There is so much to him. You could consume parts of him slowly, over time, for maximum absorption. He is a fine human specimen, and may even be evolving new mental traits, I'm told. Aspects of the ancient enemy, which you have been looking to attain through absorption for quite some time.
Much of what you say is true, the Domo said, but he seems willful. The willful ones do not absorb so well, you know.
No, the heretic said. I had not heard that. But how long have you been trying to absorb the DNA of the ancient enemy? Isn't it about 1,000 years now, Caporalanius?
Stop talking about me as if I wasn't here, Alibi shouted. I am not on the menu.
Oh, but you are, the Domo said, turning to Alibi. You trusted the heretic, didn't you? How foolish. The Domo turned back to the heretic.
You see, quite willful.
Certainly not worth the currency you are asking for him.
You are just haggling, the heretic said, making this willful stuff up.
Oh no, he's not. I've heard that too, Alibi said. Not good to eat at all. The Domo chuckled.
It has been many years, the Domo said. I spent my time on Earth. The humans have a lovely planet. I see why your people are interested in it.
The heretic shifted its robes around its thorax, adjusting them.
Look, if this is about money, Alibi started, I can pay you whatever...
No!
The heretic shouted through its translator, cutting him off.
I am doing this because I can, because it is chaotic, because it is transgressive and wrong. Don't you see? This is what you humans call art.
This is bullshit, Alibi said. Not art. You're getting it wrong, moron.
That chair is wired, you know, the heretic said. He gestured with a small device held in the lower left of his forearms, and a jolt of electricity zapped through Alibi. Alibi half yelled.
So be civil, the heretic said. Shit, that hurt.
I don't like pre-cooked meals, heretic, the Domo said. You keep that up and he's damaged goods. The heretic turned to the Domo.
Really? The heretic zapped Alibi again.
Hey! Alibi yelled, the scream ripped out of him in surprise and pain.
Maybe you're right, the heretic said. Quite willful.
So, you will lower your price then, the Domo said.
No, the heretic answered. I will sell to my other buyer. You can go, Domo.
Tecta, show Corporalanius out.
What? The Domo said, its mouth gaping sideways.
We had a deal.
And now, we don't, the heretic said.
Can't trust the heretic, I hear, Alibi said to the Domo.
The Domo's mouth snapped shut. It turned to him.
Good luck, Alibi Jones, the Domo said. You have done kindness to my race's survivors. You will not be consumed. Although, I would like to buy a pint of your blood sometime, if you don't mind. The Tecta forced the Domo out of the room.
Was he trying to help me? Weird way to do it.
Bring in the other buyer, the heretic called out. A man slightly younger than Alibi walked into the room. He gaped at Alibi in his chair, regained his composure, and turned to the Secta. He looked familiar, but Alibi couldn't place him.
Hello, Happiness Kim, the heretic said. As promised, if you have the currency for me, I have your half-brother for you, Alibi Jones.
Happiness Kim? My half-brother?
One of the heretic's Tecta hit Alibi with a dosing bar filled with sedative, knocking him out.
Chapter 32.
Alibi Jones began to wake up, aware of hard concrete underneath him. Opening his eyes, he discovered he was laying on his side on the floor of what seemed to be a jail cell.
Where am I now?
He assumed he'd been easy to transport while unconscious. Alibi pushed himself up into a sitting position and then had to massage his temples. His head was throbbing hard post-knockout.
Ugh. He mumbled.
"Welcome to my world," Happiness Kim said to him, from somewhere he couldn't yet see. Or maybe it was inside of his head, mind to mind.
"Here, I'm the new light," Hap said.
"And you are nobody." Alibi felt Hap squeeze his brain, and he blacked out again. He was alone when he came to. Hap brought him a meal later, not saying a word, just glaring at him. The next day passed much the same way, alone save for Hap bringing him two meals, with a side order of glare. On the third day, Alibi had a visitor. Alibi looked up as the older woman walked into the security office and turned to look at him in the cell. He looked back at her and blinked.
"My mother? Ruth?"
Alibi recognized Ruth, but didn't expect a woman her age to be pregnant. She looked pretty far along, too.
You're Alibi? She asked.
He nodded, unsure of what to say.
"She killed my father. Murdered BC. My father is dead. And I'm in a jail cell. And she's only out of a cell because Hap got her released under false pretenses. Now here she is, alive and free.
And carrying a child?"
"Hello," she said. I'm your mother, Ruth. Ruth Kim."
"Hi," Alibi managed.
"I haven't seen you since you were 3 years old," she said.
"I know," Alibi said. "Hard to forget you killing my father in front of me. I remember you."
"Hey!"
Alibi felt a clamp around his mind, or something that felt like a clamp. The room went dark as he lost his sight. Another brain squeeze from Hap.
"Enough. Double doors."
Alibi responded the way he did to any kind of mental attack. With his simple defense, picturing heavy, double wooden doors locking up his mind, away from the attacker, a defense that had worked against even the ancient enemy. The clamp lifted. Alibi could see again. He heard Hap grunt simultaneously, from somewhere nearby. After a breath, he felt Hap try to break through his double doors with a strong mental blow.
Bam! Double doors.
Alibi closed his eyes and strengthened the image of the doors in his mind's eye. Bigger, more solid, stronger stone portals with heavier iron bolts, keeping out all intruders.
Bam! Keep out.
He knew it was only Hap, pounding on his mental defenses. But he was as strong, if not stronger, than those of the ancient enemy Alibi had fought in the past. Surprising.
"Everyone here is full of surprises. He should not be that strong. How is that possible?"
Alibi felt the pressure ease. He opened his eyes.
"What's going on?"
Ruth asked. Alibi saw she wasn't asking him. Hap had walked into the room. He was red-faced, sweating, and the veins were popping on the sides of his forehead.
"He doesn't look healthy."
"There's no need to be rude," Hap spat out an Alibi. "She is your mother."
"Don't hurt him with your mind," Ruth said, angry at Hap. "Stop defending him. Jesus, you just hurt him."
Hap looked hurt as he berated his mother.
"There's no need to be rude," Alibi muttered.
Hap wheeled around toward Alibi and pointed at him.
Shut up!
As if slapped by a giant hand, Alibi was thrown backwards into the wall of the cell. He let himself slide to the floor as he mentally checked for damages.
Ouch. Nothing broken, I don't think.
Let's see your mental defenses stop that, huh?
Hap said. He walked over to the cell and glared down at Alibi.
Hap, no! Ruth protested.
You know what? Alibi said, looking up at Hap. I don't know what I can do. He met Hap's glare and stared him down, as he felt Hap's confident veneer slip just a hair. Alibi said and thought, sleep. Hap collapsed in front of him into a sleeping ball on the ground.
Alibi, what did you do?
Ruth asked, alarmed.
Told him to go to sleep, Alibi said.
He saw Ruth's eyes look up, as if she was looking at something far away, far off.
He's gone, she said. Gone from inside my head.
She was searching inside for mental violations, probably from Hap.
Temporarily, Alibi said. Is he in there a lot?
All the time, she said. It's wrong.
Hap groaned. He was waking up.
I'm sorry, Alibi said.
Thank you, she said.
You told him, Hap said as he rose up from the floor.
It came out, yes, Ruth said.
We'll talk about this later, Hap said. If you want to stay here and talk to him, you can. I have other things.
He let the thought trail as he walked out of the room.
Oh, Ruth said. She sounded surprised and sad.
What? Alibi asked. He couldn't help himself.
He's back in my head, she said.
You can tell? He asked.
I can feel him in there, like he's sitting right up here behind my eyes, just watching, she said,
rubbing her forehead with her right thumb and forefinger.
Sometimes looking out through them.
Through your eyes? Alibi asked.
Yes, she said. She leaned down towards Alibi and whispered, Isn't that horrible?
Evil, Alibi said. She recoiled. He is not evil.
She frowned. She turned and left the room, leaving Alibi alone.
Have it your way, Alibi said to the empty room.
That was Chapter 32 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. So, the heretic sold Alibi Jones out to his half-brother Hap. No starseed either. And Alibi Jones just met his mother, too, for the first time since he was 3, when she killed his father, BC, right in front of him, gutting him down on the altar of a church. Hap is holding Alibi on Fortuna, where he leads a quasi-Christian religious cult and calls himself the New Light. We're going to see if Alibi Jones can figure his way out of this predicament on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Hope you'll be back for it. Of course, if you don't want to wait until next week, you can get the Star Seeds of Earth audiobook now at Audible, Amazon, Google Play, Kobo, and more. Details are at glowinthedarkradio.com. And that is because the book is now on sale everywhere. That's my big news. Audiobook, paperback, and ebooks everywhere. Details at glowinthedarkradio.com. Remember, you can head there too to get to the sales that are about to end. The free ebooks at Smashwords ends tonight, Sunday night. Midnight Pacific time, 5:31. And Half Price Number One's end at Comixology on Thursday. And be sure to head over to glowinthedarkradio.com, mikeluoma.com, to check out the new trailer for the Star Seeds of Earth. Spent all day Saturday putting that thing together, so
Hope you like that.
And a reminder, too, that I can use your support if you want to become a patron. Head to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and pledge to become a patron for $2, $5, or $10 a month. It helps. And my thanks again to my patrons who have been helping me keep this podcast going. That is it for this week. I hope you will be back as the adventure continues on our next episode. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.